I'm Greg Peters. I'm the insurance analyst covering the non-life insurance and insurance brokerage and services space for Raymond James. Very pleased that Allstate is here again presenting at the Raymond James Conference. We recently upgraded the stock to strong buy. We think over the next 24 months, the company should be positioned to report substantial improvement in the underlying results, especially in its homeowners business, which we think will lead to a revaluation of the stock. It's one of the few large cap names that's trading at a nice discount to book value. From Allstate, we have Bob Block, who's the Senior Vice President, Investor Relations, and I'll turn it over to Bob for the story.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning, everyone. My goal today is to give you a better idea and a better understanding of why now is a good time to invest in Allstate. What I'll do is I'll go through our strategy and how we expect to use that to create long-term shareholder value, as well as increase the number of customers in our market share. But first, I have to give you a message from our lawyers, and just note that I will be making some forward-looking statements, and there's plenty of information available on our website to help you understand the potential risks of investing in Allstate. Now, today, Allstate presents a unique investment opportunity, and we have significant capabilities to draw upon, starting with a very strong brand and our presence in 16 million households. Our strategy is to offer differentiated products in the protection and retirement space to consumer segments based on unique characteristics, whether that's price, service, or delivery channel. This strategy differentiates us from all the competition in the personal lines business. And to accelerate our success in that strategy, we have a very clear focus on what we need to do in 2012. First and foremost, we must maintain the profitability in our auto business. And we'll do this by making further improvements in the profitability of New York and Florida and being diligent about our costs and prices, and providing Encompass and Esurance with the capabilities to improve their results. Secondly, we must continue to raise the returns on homeowners and fixed annuity business. At the same time, we need to grow insurance premiums, and that means we need to overcome those negative impacts of improving the profitability in a couple of large auto states and what we're doing with the homeowner business to raise returns. And we can do that by raising customer loyalty, growing in profitable auto and homeowner markets, and increasing the number of multi-line households. And lastly, we need to proactively manage our investments and capital to give balanced returns for shareholders. On a longer-term basis, this strategy will generate a return on equity of 13% by 2014. It also enables us to position our products and product portfolio and platforms to meet the changing needs of customers over a longer period of time, and particularly to focus on the personal lines space. So let me go through our strategy. This slide should be familiar to anyone who's been following Allstate recently. It's a representation of the insurance marketplace based on customer preferences for interaction and brand. On the left-hand side of the chart, you have customers who prefer receiving local advice and assistance. On the right-hand side, you have customers who prefer to do more on their own. The vertical axis distinguishes between how customers think about insurance companies. Those at the top are brand neutral. At the lower end are people who are brand sensitive, who believe there's a difference between insurance companies. Allstate obviously has an extremely strong presence in the lower left-hand corner, where people prefer local advice and assistance with your insurance needs and value a very strong brand. These customers prefer to buy multiple products and display excellent retention characteristics. The profitability in this segment is much higher than the overall profitability in personal lines. Our broad array of protection products is well-liked, and our retirement solutions appeal to this customer segment. And as you know, we acquired Esurance in the fourth quarter of 2011 to provide products and services to customers who prefer to serve themselves. That's in the lower right-hand corner of this chart. We're positioning the Esurance brand, leveraging our claims and product capabilities to compete directly with GEICO and Progressive Direct. We also recently launched a new Esurance advertising campaign, and we're making good progress in supporting this team and growing their business. In the upper left-hand corner are those customers who want advice but are not as concerned about brand. That's served by the independent agencies, and that's where our Encompass business plays. We acquired this business in 1999 from CNA, and we successfully reduced the combined ratio, which did generate an attractive return on the purchase price. More recently, this business has underperformed from both a profit and a growth perspective, so we have new leadership team in place and expect Encompass to produce much better results in the future. With Answer Financial in the upper right completing the picture, we're the only insurance company that is positioned in every quadrant of the insurance market. Now, at our Investor Day last June, we introduced the goal of achieving an operating return of 13% by 2014. Let me take a few minutes to give you more details on how we expect to achieve this. But first, let me start off by pointing out that, on average, our operating return on equity from 2000 to 2011 was 13%. You can see in this chart that there's a fair amount of volatility around that mean. We're working on reducing the volatility in our business, particularly as it relates to catastrophes. On the right-hand side, you can see the main sources of return. First, we'll maintain our auto margins at industry-leading levels. The majority of the improvement in the ROE over the next few years will come from our actions to improve homeowners' profitability. Allstate Financial will contribute by raising returns while generating excess capital over time. And finally, we'll proactively manage our investments to support the profitability of the insurance businesses, making sure that we balance risk and return. So let's go through each of these components. First, let's look at our historical performance in auto insurance. For the last decade, we've produced excellent underwriting results. You can see that we've an outstanding combined ratio, competitive with the key leaders in the business. That translates into high returns, as you can see on the right-hand side of this chart. We've significantly outperformed the industry on both a 5-year and a 10-year basis. And regardless of the leverage that you use, the returns put Allstate in the upper echelon of the industry. We expect to remain there going forward because we are maniacally focused on utilizing our pricing, product, and claim capabilities to generate solid financial returns while making sure we give our customers the kind of experience they expect when they purchase the Allstate brand. Now, good returns, of course, are the foundation of creating shareholder value, but additional value also comes from growth. So as you can see on this next slide, over the last decade, we've had growth in premium and units in standard auto. Net written premium and items in force grew from 2001 through 2007 as we developed a competitive advantage as a result of improved pricing segmentation. And then we launched our Your Choice Auto product, which we've sold over 5 million units since then. In 2008 and 9, we declined in both measures as we worked to protect our auto margins. In 2010 and 11, the impact of our aggressive profit improvement actions in homeowners and New York and Florida auto insurance created headwinds for us to overcome. In 2012, we expect to slow that decline by broadening our pricing targets, optimizing our prices, improving the efficiency of our marketing efforts, and working with our agencies to increase their effectiveness. Now, let me shift the conversation to homeowners, where we expect to make the greatest improvements in our long-term goal, ROE. Raising returns in this business is critical to achieving that goal by 2014. In the upper left-hand corner, we show our rate changes over the last several years. Early on, the level of rate changes taken proved inadequate to offset rising loss costs in homeowners, culminating with the mandatory rate reduction of $230 million in California in 2008. In the last 3 years, we accelerated our pricing actions, averaging about 8% countrywide overall rate increases. But there's a delay in the impact of those rates, both in terms of average written and average earned premium. So we'll continue to file for and gain approval for rate increases as necessary. On the downside, there's been a reduction in the number of units as a result of these profit improvement actions. We now underwrite about 1.2 million fewer homes over the last 4 years. Those changes have been necessary to react to the rapid rise in catastrophe losses since 2008 and to raise shareholder value. They obviously create headwinds for trying to grow our auto business. We are able to save many of these customers because we broker much of this business using third-party insurance. But nevertheless, making that change will have a negative impact on our auto growth. Now, on the left-hand side, you can see the latest rates taken over the last 6 years. The right-hand side of this chart looks at how the rates taken are beginning to create margin improvement necessary to get to our goal of raising returns and getting the combined ratios down to our goal of low to mid-80s in homeowners. So as loss costs go up faster than earned premium, what happens is your profit goes down. And you can see that in 2010 and 2011, the average premium grew faster than loss costs, creating a favorable gap and improving the margin in homeowners designated with the green shading. The chart on the bottom gives you the combined ratio on an underlying basis, which excludes the effect of catastrophe losses and prior year reserve estimates. What we call the underlying combined ratio. So in 2011, you can see that we've improved the underlying margin by 2 full points for the year. The green line shows the combined ratio with a long-term average of catastrophe losses, which we provide in our investor supplement. So that number still needs to come down to get into the mid-80s. So in summary, then on homeowners, our goal is to generate an acceptable return on capital in the homeowner business, including catastrophes, over time. We'll accomplish this by continuing to see price increases as necessary and utilizing new pricing methods and tightening underwriting standards. Last October, we launched a new product in Oklahoma called House and Home, which has some unique features in dealing with roof losses, which are a large portion of the catastrophe losses coming from that come from people's roofs. We recently started rolling this product out in another state, and we'll roll it out as we continue throughout this year and next. In those markets where we don't want the homeowner risk, we'll continue to expand our brokering capabilities to provide these kinds of options for our customers, because when they're in that lower left-hand corner, they want to buy all the stuff from one person. So we want to be able to provide it, even if we don't want to deploy our capital to do that. Last year, we brokered over $1 billion in property premium. Shifting to Allstate Financial, over the last few years, Allstate Financial has undergone a strategic shift, one focused on improving operating returns while shifting the focus to more profitable underwritten products distributed through Allstate agencies and Allstate benefits. The results for 2011 were very good. We had a net income of $586 million in 2011 and an operating income of $529 million, with a return on attributed equity of 8.2%. An important element of this strategic shift is to drive greater participation in the life and retirement sales by Allstate agencies to those customers in the lower left-hand corner of our strategic customer map. Life insurance applications through Allstate agencies increased by 33% in 2011 compared to 2010, as a greater portion of our agency force participated in those sales. In the fourth quarter, that increase was 42%. Now, Allstate Financial is really four different businesses. We've added some new disclosure in our investor supplement last quarter, which breaks down income, attributed equity, and operating returns by product to provide more transparency for Allstate Financial. So as you can see in this exhibit, our life business and accident and health businesses produced solid returns in 2011 with returns of 11% and 15% respectively. They utilized about half the capital deployed. The spread-based products represent the balance of our equity and produce returns of 8.8% for deferred annuities and negative returns for our immediate annuities. Now, we've raised the returns in the deferred annuity business by raising investment income and lowering crediting rates, and this business is running off over time. We're also working to improve returns in the immediate annuity business by diversifying the portfolio, reallocating from fixed income investments, and moving to owning assets rather than lending on assets. That should enable us to generate higher returns and protect us from the long-term rise in interest rates. Ultimately, as we shift the mix of products to the top of the chart, so as you can, as we grow life, we grow the benefits business, which has had a 15% compound annual growth rate in operating income over the last 5 years. It should enable Allstate Financial to reach its operating goal and help support the overall corporate goal of a 13% ROE by 2014. Now, throughout the tumultuous investment markets in 2007, we proactively managed our investment portfolio to generate solid returns. Over the last 5 years, we've lowered our allocation to municipals, structured securities from $25 billion to $10 billion. We did increase the allocation to corporates, and underneath that in corporates, we substantially reduced the amount that we have in financials in both the United States and foreign. In 2011, we were able to maintain overall yields in the portfolio because we sold fixed income securities in the early months, January and February, at both the short end and the long end of the curve, reinvesting it in the belly of the curve. And that enabled us to both maintain investment yields and reduce our reinvestment risk. So we'll continue to proactively manage the portfolio, making sure that we balance risk and return. Now, as has been our practice for years, we provide an outlook on the underlying combined ratio for property liability business. The underlying combined ratio, excluding catastrophes and excluding prior year reserve re-estimates. For 2011, our underlying combined ratio was 89.3, which was right in the middle of the range we provided at the beginning of the year of 88 to 91. For 2012, we've established the same range, 88 to 91, which is based on several factors below. First, we expect improvements in the underlying combined ratio for homeowners, and that should be a positive effect and should lower the combined ratio. However, we also believe that improvements in New York and Florida will continue to flow through this year, which should further bring down the combined ratio. However, as the big states improve in the auto margins, the balance of the country might actually drift up a little bit as we continue to balance profit and growth. They're running very, very healthy margins at this time. And investments in growth and insurance will also move the combined ratio. And finally, it's always difficult to predict the direction of auto loss costs in the short run. So this range is consistent with our 2012 goals of maintaining auto margins, improving homeowner returns, and growing insurance premiums. Now, capital management has been a recognized strength of Allstate since we've been public. This slide gives you a recap of the capital we've returned to shareholders since 2000 and the performance relative to several of our peers. Our business generates a significant amount of capital, and if we can't generate good opportunities to deploy the capital, we believe in returning it to shareholders, either through dividends or share buybacks. You can see we currently have a $1 billion share buyback underway, and we repurchased about $100 million in the fourth quarter based on that authorization. So coming into this year, we had about $900 million left on the authorization. Now, in conclusion, let's review why Allstate's a great investment opportunity. First, Allstate has significant market power with the second leading market share in the personal line space. We have a strong brand, a diverse product portfolio, strong capabilities in pricing, product development, and claims. We expect to capitalize on those strengths by going forward by broadening the target in auto insurance, increasing the overall effectiveness of our marketing, while we continue to work with our agencies to strengthen them so they can serve our customers in the way that they want to be served. Secondly, our strategy is to offer differentiated protection and retirement products and services to unique customer segments. We're the only company that has a market presence in all four segments, now that we've closed the acquisition of Esurance Financial and Answer Financial. Third, we've historically outperformed the industry in terms of auto profitability and have specific actions in place to drive improvements in our other product categories. And lastly, there's a substantial upside to the company's valuation. We currently trade well below book and below our peers. Historically, that has not been the case. The actions we've laid out in terms of achieving our return on equity goal of 13% by 2014 will generate significant capital and will also generate significant shareholder value over time. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions you might have. Okay, the question dealt with some of the management changes that have occurred at Allstate. Most recently, our head of our marketing decided to resign for personal reasons. It was at that time he was running the Allstate Protection organization with Matt Winter, and it really was not about a two-horse race. It wasn't about not getting along. It wasn't about strategy. It was a personal decision on his part, and we'll miss him. He was very good in doing that. Other management changes. We have, at the senior leadership team level, we probably have, from the last 3 or 4 years, about half of them are new to the company, about half are long-term Allstate with Allstate experience. It's a good team. It's running smoothly. We've got a strategy that, in place, everyone's focused on growing shareholder value, getting the returns up to that 13% level by 2014. So that's about all I can say about the management changes. I think there was a question back here. Okay, the question had to deal with, and correct me if I'm wrong, but how much cannibalization would there be between Esurance and, say, the Allstate agency business? Is that essentially what you're asking? When we announced the acquisition of Esurance back in May, the following week, I believe, we had a fairly large agency conference. We have a lot of the high-producing agencies in. And quite the reaction from the agencies in the main was that they weren't all that concerned about e-assurance. The belief was that the customers who would go to select an e-assurance for their option to buy insurance would not be the same customer that would come to them. We have not, we haven't rebranded e-assurance. What we're doing in our advertising is we're identifying e-assurance and Allstate Company so that people understand that there's a big company behind e-assurance. But it doesn't carry the Allstate brand. The agencies at this point don't feel that there's really a conflict between the customers. And if you go back to that customer map, there are people who want to deal with local agents, local advice, and others who prefer to do things more on their own, and they're really distinct. Now, there'll obviously be some crossover and overlap, but in the main, they're distinct customers in the way that they want to approach the insurance business. The reaction of the agents was not dissimilar to when we bought the personal lines business from CNA back in 1999. At that time, it was an independent agency business. We rebranded that business Encompass. That independent agency was just down the street from an Allstate agent, so they had been competing against each other for years, and again, they felt comfortable that there wouldn't be significant cannibalization or competition between the agencies.
Could you talk a little bit more about the investment class and growth aspirations for
the
insurance?
What the growth aspirations are for insurance? Well, we have... You know, we paid about $1 billion for e-assurance. We think that e-assurance works better in an Allstate than it did in their former owner. There are several value levers that we can pull in order to create value out of that deal. One, an obvious one, is claims. Our claims capability and scale provides e-assurance the opportunity to lower their claim costs just by simply being on our national contracts for glass and the repair shops, salvage, things of that nature, lowers their claim costs. The other areas where we think we can add value is in helping them in their marketing efforts and in their pricing efforts. The book of business that e-assurance historically wrote tended to be a younger audience. There's a significant portion of it that would come to them with no prior insurance, so it's relatively higher risk. Their capabilities around pricing for the preferred customer were not that good. We obviously have mountains of data and years of experience in pricing the preferred business, so we can help them out in that. And that's where we're trying to shift their focus, their customer focus, is to move it more towards the preferred customer and go right after Progressive Direct and GEICO. We will continue to invest in marketing costs, advertising, and those dollars will increase as long as we can see a favorable yield on that investment, and that's watched pretty closely. The overall results, calendar year results for e-assurance won't necessarily improve substantially early on because the vast proportion of their business will be new business, which carries all of the expense load with it. You expense the advertising costs right up front, and then the trailing combined ratio drops down substantially as you retain it. So as you get into shifting the focus into more of the preferred category where you have longer retention, that's where you can create real value with that deal. The question was, how does the product that deals differently in homeowners with roofs, how that will help our profit improvement actions, right? The house and home product is fairly unique in terms of there's a wide variety of coverage options for customers. Of structural losses, roofs account for a significant part of that. We buy a lot of roofs. And what we saw in the underlying costs and homeowners, the whole industry saw this when oil ran up over $140 a barrel. The lagging effects of that was a significant increase in things like roofing paper, asphalt shingles, they were going up 40, 50, 60% as the price of oil went up. So we took a look at this, and what we're doing in this product is we're age rating roofs. If you have a 20-year-old roof, you have options. In today's world, with the former products or our current book of business, you can have options where you end up getting full replacement cost on that roof. So it really there was no incentive for a customer to go out and maintain the roof, wait for a hailstorm or a windstorm. The roof gets damaged and gets paid for by an insurance company. Today in this product, by age rating roofs, if you have a 20-year-old roof, we'll tell you up front that if you have roofing damage, you're going to get X amount. Maybe, and I'm not exactly sure what the percentage is. I might be 25% of the value or to pay for the loss. So you know that you're not going to get a full replacement cost on that. Now you have an option in the product to buy full replacement cost if you wish, which will be fairly expensive. So you'll have the customer has the option of either maintaining the roof, paying a very stiff premium to buy the full replacement, or they'll know that if they have damage, they're not going to get it. You know, they're going to end up having to pay for part of the repair themselves. So that's really how it is. A lot of companies adjust the roofs on an actual cash value basis, which becomes a more interesting conversation when you're adjusting the home and having a conversation with the homeowner about what the real useful life of your roof was. So we're only going to, you know, we're going to depreciate it X amount. The customer really doesn't know how much they would get back until it actually happens and you have that conversation. So it's really not a good customer experience. This way they know up front what they're covered for and what their options are in terms of insuring for damage to roofs. Yeah, we have had issues with homeowners. When you look at, if you go into our investor supplement, we have, I think we provide like 20-some years of catastrophe loss history. For example, in 2006, for the year, we had $800 million in catastrophe losses. Last year, I think we had $800 million in catastrophe losses in 1 week. We ended up with $3.8 billion for the year, which was more than 50% increase over what it was the year before. So that being the case, the whole industry has experienced significant pressures on the homeowner profitability. From a pricing perspective, all the major players are taking significant rate increases. You saw in my charts the last 3 years we've averaged about 8% countrywide. On a state-specific basis, that goes up to low double digits annually. Similar increases have been taken by the other companies. The retention of our homeowner business has not been materially impacted by the size of those rate changes, which typically when you're taking rates at the level that we have been and the industry has been, your retention tends to go down. Our homeowner retention has kind of held up because everybody's in the same environment where they have to recapture those losses through rate changes. And we have, at this point, we have not gotten a lot of pushback from the departments of insurance. The question dealt with the allocation to equity seems fairly low and has actually come down over time. What's our attitude towards that? We've historically run around 5% of the portfolio in equities. We're a huge fixed income portfolio, very similar to many companies in the insurance space. In the capital requirements in the life insurance business are pretty steep for equity, so they don't carry a lot of equity. Most of the equity is in the property liability business, where the capital charges aren't quite as onerous as they are in life. But we've historically not been a huge equity player relied more on the fixed income, primarily the corporates and the municipal bond portfolio, to where the greatest asset allocations have been. Would we be a beneficiary of rising interest rates overall on a corporate basis? There's lots of different answers to that question, depending upon how you want to look at it, from an economic perspective, from an accounting perspective. Obviously, with the majority of the portfolio in fixed income securities, rising interest rates would create unrealized losses. It would hurt their value. The question is, do the rising rates really impair the ability of corporations to pay that debt down? So you can still get the cash, and it's just that you'd have an unrealized or devalued position relative to where we are today. We've kept the duration of the portfolio down. By shifting a lot of the recent buying in the fixed income to more in the 5 to 7 year duration category of what they call the belly of the curve, our reinvestment risk over the next few years is probably less than what it normally would be. So that kind of insulates us a little bit from the headwinds of interest rate rises. But from an accounting perspective, if rates go up, it's going to hit our balance sheet. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.